This is The Real Change from the Redwood Gospel Mission. Now, here's your host, Redwood Gospel Mission's Jeff Gilman.
Hi, welcome to Real Change, presented by Redwood Gospel Missions. My name is Jeff Gilman. I am the executive director of Redwood Gospel Missions. I've been doing this here in town in Santa Rosa for the last 32 years, but I've spent my life serving the poor and needy in cities like Portland, Oregon, Redding, California, Richmond, California, and then here in Santa Rosa. So I've got a little bit of time under my belt having served people. And at Redwood Gospel Missions, we do a variety of care for people who are poor, who are homeless, who are addicted, who suffer from all kinds of challenges with life. And we serve a number of people in a variety of ways through a men's program that you might be familiar with the neon sign down at 6th and Wilson in Old Railroad Square. We also have women and children's emergency shelter off of West College. We have a long-term family campus for women and children and families in the off of Hoenn and Summerfield. We also have a variety of services such as thrift stores, mobile showers throughout Marin, Sonoma, and Mendocino counties. We have a Mendocino County facility, the Center for Hope. We have a variety of different services that we do for people in the community, and also thrift stores, some very popular thrift stores in the area, serving people in need in our community, and also providing job skills and employment opportunities for many people. And I am thrilled that we are starting this podcast, because I was thinking, what the world needs is another podcast. There just aren't enough of them. There was a big gap in the market, so we decided to start one. And so we're going to be doing this, hopefully, for many years to come. We're grateful to have the opportunity to be with you. Today, in this introductory broadcast, I am welcoming Mackenzie High, who is the Director of Shelter and Recovery Ministries for Redwood Gospel Missions. She is responsible for a variety of different ministries, including the ministries I mentioned, the various shelters and recovery programs that we have, as well as our nomadic shelter and our outreach shower ministries that we do. And so welcome, Kenzie. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
I've pulled Kenzie practically out of the hospital because Kenzie has been suffering from a real sickness of late, but she's recovering. And so thank you for being a trooper and coming here to be part of this this broadcast.
Absolutely. Very excited.
So Kenzie, not only are you the Director of Shelter and Recovery Ministries, but you also have some lived experience. You were homeless at one point. Would you be open to telling a little bit about your story?
Absolutely. I have been in recovery now for just over 10 years. And so prior to that, for almost a decade leading up to that, I was homeless and addicted to drugs and was estranged from my family. That time was, those circumstances would be hard on absolutely anybody, but I remember it being especially hard being so detached from any sense of real community, any relationships that provided any kind of value or stability in my life. I was completely disconnected from purpose, from my role as a mother, and I spent most of my time not just seeking drugs, but seeking to kind of numb out from the feelings of experiencing that. And I definitely remember feeling like I didn't have a hope to reconnect to those purposes and those relationships. And so I just sought to really uphold myself in that kind of yucky environment and you know, and making those bad decisions. And I thought, well, if this is my life, if this is where I'm meant to be, then, you know, I just kind of poured everything into that.
So a lot of people look at people who are on the streets, who are homeless, and we all have prejudices. People oftentimes look at somebody on the street and say, that person, it's their own fault. They're there because of, you know,
bad choices.
You know, there are others who want to paint a picture that says that this is all an issue of the lack of affordable housing, or it's a, there are all kinds of narratives that are out there. Because you have your own experience, you also have an experience of working with a lot of people over the last decade. What can you tell people about your experience in engaging with people who are homeless, and about your own experience? What are some of the root causes of homelessness?
Well, that's a great question, and that's, like you mentioned, that's the question that everybody's asking. My personal experience was that it started out making some choices that were not healthy, and then it got me to a place where I was no longer to help myself, even when I was ready to seek help. It wasn't until I was able to find recovery and develop a new community that I was able to get and maintain my sobriety. But what I see working with people in the shelters is that it's everybody. I was surprised after almost a decade of homelessness, the people that I encountered in the shelters, it's everybody from children who've aged out of the foster system to elderly women or elderly men whose families just they're not connected with anymore, or maybe they're not able to help them because they're on subsidized housing, so they can't share space with them. Some people have extraordinary mental health conditions that are going untreated. Other people do have drug addictions. But the one thing that we see over and over and over again is this disconnection to family and relationship. And so it makes it increasingly hard to get help and maintain any kind of positive environment.
So to personalize that a little bit, you had your own experience with homelessness. You were disconnected from your own family.
Yeah.
But, you know, not to get too deep into the weeds, but there were some challenges with the ability that your family had to support you in your time of crisis as well. Is that true?
Well, I wouldn't say for my personal story that it was so much their inability to help me, because early on, they were trying to be very helpful. They did have means to be able to help, but I really created this life for myself where I wasn't seeking help until I was. And at that point, we had years and years and years of a strange relationship between us. And so I also didn't feel like I could then go and ask for help. And so what I sought to do instead was seek the help of a program. And then once I was able to kind of stabilize and start my life over, then they came back and lifted me up and supported me. And in fact, that's where I went after program.
So you had a reconnection with family.
Yeah.
How important was that reconnection with family for you in creating stability in your life?
You know, I would have never guessed or known when I sought to get help how important that was, or just what that meant to me. But I remember the first holiday where my children came and met me at the program where I was recovering. And to know that they were encouraging me and supporting me and wanted to be a part of my life, it meant everything to me. It was an obvious sign that recovery was possible, that I could have my life back. I really didn't believe that was possible. And then it just kept getting better and better from there.
So, and we'll talk about this in a little bit in our next segment, but I would also suggest that perhaps that common denominator of broken family, broken relationships is probably key to the homelessness that exists in the, among almost all the people we serve.
Yeah, right. I see it over and over again, and I also recognize in them their inability to see that that's a possibility.
Right, because it seems there is a sense of hopelessness for people who are homeless, and so we want to be providing both hope and a home for people who are struggling.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm so grateful that you've had a chance to join us. We are going to be having you in another segment here in just a minute. But I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful what's happened in your life, and I'm so grateful that you are on the team at Redwood Gospel Missions and for the work that you are doing in caring for people who are experiencing what you experienced in your life. And we're going to come back and talk about what other people can do to be a part of those solutions as well.
Great.
Great. And we'll be right back with Real Change on KSRO in just a minute.
This is The Real Change from the Redwood Gospel Mission. Now, here's your host, Redwood Gospel Mission's Jeff Gilman.
Welcome back to Real Change on KSRO. This is our inaugural episode, and really this show is about conversations with people who have experienced homelessness, who are engaged in helping others overcome homelessness, who are in a world of dealing with people in poverty, and we're looking for solutions. People who are homeless, you know, don't need spare change. They need real change. And real change is what we are seeking to offer through Redwood Gospel Missions. And it's what we are seeking to engage you in as we care for people in our community who are experiencing poverty and homelessness. I am joined by Mackenzie High, who is the Director of Shelter and Recovery Ministries for Redwood Gospel Missions. And in the first segment, she shared a little bit about her story. And in this second segment, I'd like to talk to you about your role as Director of Shelter and Recovery Ministries. And really, I would love to hear from you, put you on the spot a little bit, about what you would understand the mission of Redwood Gospel Missions to be.
Well, the mission of Redwood Gospel Missions is to mobilize our community to minister to those who are in need so that lives are transformed. And that, of course, means not just the lives of those we serve, but the people who are doing the serving's lives have been transformed as well as part of this process.
Absolutely. And because we are who we are, we do all of this in the grace and power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right?
Absolutely.
That's what we do. So we're not ashamed of our middle name. Our middle name is Gospel. And Gospel is really important to us because we really believe that those relationships that people have that are broken, we believe that there are some, are probably four or five key relationships that are broken by people who are experiencing poverty, a broken relationship with God, a broken relationship with self, a broken relationship with family, a broken relationship with community, and a broken relationship with all of creation. And we look to restore all of those things. So tell me, in your experience, in your ministry at Redwood Gospel Missions. How do you go about doing that business of mobilizing our community to minister to people in need so that lives are transformed?
Well, fortunately, I don't do anything. I work with a team of managers that mobilizes our community. The way that I view Redwood Gospel Mission is that we are a platform for volunteerism. And when I look at it in very simple terms, I feel like, in a sense, we have this community that's in need, right? We recognize the need, we identify ways to serve them, and we look at every opportunity that the body of Christ can participate, right? And it's almost like looking at a menu and saying, you know, this is all the stuff we do. Where do you feel like you fit in? And so we offer that to everybody. Everybody has something to offer. How would you like to participate? How can we support you? How can we train and equip you to do what God has intended for you to do?
Absolutely. What would you say to that person who says, oh, that must be really hard and depressing and awful doing that kind of work? I can't imagine working with people who are homeless and addicted, and I don't have any ability to do anything, and I can't help them, and it seems hopeless, and it would just be a depressing kind of thing. What would you say to that person?
Well, you know, rather than try to encourage them, no, it's great, because that's what they'd expect to hear, right? Just show up. Come have dinner with us. You know, come and see what we do. Because I know that when they come and experience it, they're going to experience joy. I know that I do.
So what kind of volunteer opportunities exist in caring for people in need in our community?
Well, when you look at it through the scope of specifically caring for people that are in need, you might be looking at, well, what's going on in our shelters? What's going on in our programs? In our shelters, we're feeding people every day. We're opening our facilities for shower services. We're housing them in the evening. So there's a lot of ways to participate there through, you know, serving food or the clothing closet or, you know, just kind of showing up and being part of dinner and that kind of stuff. If we're thinking about program, we have everything from coaching, sponsorship, mentoring, prayer partners. There's a ton of ways to get involved there. But we do every kind of volunteer, you know, aspect, all the way from participating in working at the thrift stores or donating in the thrift stores on up to one-on-one with our guests.
And we just throw people to the wolves, right?
We just throw them to the wolves. Yeah,
we don't provide any training for them at all.
No. I really encourage people that either, you know, it's their first time, or maybe they want to volunteer as a family to come. We'll show you what to do. If it's something a little more in depth, like a coaching or mentorship, we'll train you.
And we are just I think we're in the middle of one of our trainings right now for volunteers. We're working with some of the folks who have signed up to be chaplains, and they're lay volunteer chaplains.
Yeah, that is an excellent ministry. Yeah, the chaplains show up and they do different training over the course of about 9 weeks. Mm-hmm. Is it 9 weeks?
Yeah.
And when they're done, they're able to be commissioned. And so they participate in various areas of, you know, volunteering throughout the organization.
And so those chaplains are really specifically equipped to do some really in-depth trauma-informed care with the people we serve, because many of them have experienced trauma. And they're also equipped to be those coaches and mentors,
right,
and teachers and prayer partners that our people need. So we do absolutely have some training available for people. So you've been involved in some of our classes, and you've been involved in helping to train and equip and mobilize and supervise volunteers. What do you hear from volunteers who get involved in the mission as it relates to once they begin to help others? What are some of the feedback that you get from them?
over and over and over again, we hear how much it has impacted their life. You know, I think you mentioned this earlier. They might have sought to come and help somebody who's in need, but it's absolutely changed their life being able to participate. And you might, if you have a one-on-one relationship, such as a coaching relationship or mentorship relationship might be, you might each year get a different person. And so that's that many more opportunities that you have to serve and impact lives.
Okay, that's wonderful. So we talked about how people, or what kind of things that people can do. Do you have a way for people to get involved? Obviously, you can sort of just show up, but that probably isn't the best way to do it. What would you suggest for people who want to get involved? How would you go about it if you were looking to make a difference in people's lives?
Well, an easy first step would be to submit an application, and then you can start the conversation.
How do you do that?
Go online to rgm.org,
okay.
Fill out your volunteer application, and somebody will contact you, and we can discuss what kind of things you're interested in.
That's a complicated website, rgm.org.
Yeah.
Wow, how about that? That must stand for Redwood Gospel Missions.
I think it does.
Okay, so it would be an easy way just to go online to rgm.org, mm-hmm. and I think there's even that says get involved, I think
yep.
is what it says on that website. And at that website, there's just a little simple application that you can get involved. What happens when somebody does that?
They get a phone call from our volunteer coordinator, Tina Carnes, mm-hmm. and she'll discuss their application with them. There's a little bit of a vetting process. And then, like I said, just discussion about, you know, where you might like to serve. And not everybody knows. You know, you might have a heart to serve and you don't exactly know what the right fit is. But we're happy to sit down and talk to you and talk about your specific talents and see what sounds interesting to you.
Okay. Well, if you want to make a difference in people's lives, even your own life, Redwood Gospel Missions is a great way to do that. And we would welcome you to go to the website at rgm.org and make a difference in people's lives. Well, thank you. This has been great as our initial episode. We are so grateful that Kenzie was able to join us. And I'm really trusting that over time, we are going to explore more in depth the issues of homelessness and poverty, and recognize that there are solutions for those at an individual level. We don't believe that Redwood Gospel Missions can solve all of homelessness and poverty in Sonoma County. But I know this, that we can work with our community to solve the problem in the lives of the people who show up to Redwood Gospel Missions, doing so through the grace and power of Jesus, and doing so in mobilizing our community. So thank you. This has been Real Change with Redwood Gospel Missions on KSRO, and look forward to seeing you in our next episode, or talking to you in our next episode. Thanks so much for joining us. God bless.
You've been listening to The Real Change with Jeff Gilman of the Redwood Gospel Mission.